Mr. Wayne.
Movie pipe.
Movie pipe.
Movie pipe.
Movie pipe.
Say it.
Say it. Say it.
Movie pipe.
Movie
pipe.
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 Movie pipe.
Movie
pipe to pipe Bushman.
We've got to return some videotapes.
The Jackal, 1997, Bruce Willis, Richard Gere thriller in which Bruce Willis, amongst other things, brutally murders Jack Black with a massive machine gun, and Richard Gere brutally murders the Irish accent. What has not been said about this movie, I'm not sure because I haven't done a lot of research. We only watched it very recently, having watched the Day of the Jackal, which is its predecessor based on the Frederick Forsyth novel starring Edward Fox. Far superior movie, just FYI, far superior movie. If you're going to watch any Jackal based cinematic experience, make it the former, not the latter. However, this is Movie Pipe, where we tend to review pretty bad movies because we do enjoy them, don't we? We enjoy watching the bad ones as much as we enjoy watching the good ones and the great ones and the exceptional ones. But they can't all be winners, can they? And if you look at Bruce Willis's filmography, not his lost one, his real one, the one he found down the back of the sofa, seemingly, because it's all over the bloody place, The Jackal does not rank highly. However, much like Striking Distance in one of the previous episodes, which we really enjoyed, even though it's a bad movie, but we really enjoyed it, The Jackal is a lot of fun. So if you've not seen The Jackal, it's a great Friday night movie if you're sat at home on your own wondering what on earth am I going to do tonight. There's an entire planet out there of opportunity. Just imagine the things you could be outside doing, meeting new people, fucking abseiling down a rock face, metal detecting along a beach, scuba diving in a fresh water spring. No, I'm going to stay home on a Friday night. I'm going to lock the door. I'm going to pull down the blinds. I'm going to turn off the lights. And I'm going to rent The Jackal for $3.99 on Amazon Prime. And you won't regret it. You will wake up Saturday morning wondering, what did I just do? Why wasn't I outside doing all those aforementioned activities? But no, let's spend 90 minutes or so with Bruce Willis and Richard Gere and Sidney Poitier and J.K. Simmons and Jack Black and some other people that you'll be like, it's that person. They haven't become... Jack Black's an interesting one, isn't he? Because I'd not seen The Jackal before, but it's around that time in the 90s where Jacken Blacken was cropping up in movies. I guess he's just starting out in his film career. And there's another film that he's in, Enemy of the State, with William Smith and Genius Hackman. And he's sort of like, he's not quite Jack Black yet, but there's a kernel, not a kernel from the army, but a kernel is like a seed. There's a kernel of Jack Black in these performances. So he's like a counterfeiter in The Jackal, the 1997 Bruce Willis movie, and he helps Bruce Willis's character, the Jackal, build a gun or something, or he gets him a fake passport anyway, and Bruce doesn't like the guy, he makes bad jokes, so he takes him out to a lake and just blows him to bits with this massive gun, and it's pretty brutal. And you've got to wonder if that was in the script or that was something they improvised on the day. Anyway, they put Jack Black back together again, and then he became the Jack Black we, some of us love today. You know, he does do a bit of a cash grab every now and again, though, doesn't he? He just did the new Mario movie. He was the antagonist in the Mario animation, and he ad-libbed a song about his unrequited love for Peaches, which was quite amusing. That was the thing that got me through that experience, taking someone else's kids to that showing. I don't know where my kid was. Anyway, the Jackal, Bruce Willis, what the fuck were we talking about? Jack Black got blown to bits. Bruce Willis, he's a known baldy, right? And we love him for it. He rocks the no hair look. And you do wonder if he decided to sign up for the Jackal, because a large part of this movie is Jack Black, sorry, is Bruce Willis spent in costume, in makeup, in fake hair. And that's part of his persona as the Jackal, this sort of international assassin. Nobody really knows who he is, because he has like multiple identities. And that's kind of part of the movie, is Bruce Willis playing these different characters in order to come in and out of different countries. And there's one where he's got blonde hair and you're like, okay, has he just stepped off the Fifth Element set, or was there reshoots? I don't know. And then there's one bit where he's sort of playing this Dutch gentleman with longer hair, and then there's one with a fake sort of Fu Manchu moustache, and it's all very fake. But it's okay that it's fake, because he's pretending in a movie. Hang on a minute. Bruce Willis is an actor. He's acting in a movie about a character who also pretends to be other characters. I see what they did there. Anyway, I won't go on about the plot. It's not well edited, this movie. I feel like this could have been a 3-hour film, but they just were like, fuck that. There's no character development. We need to somehow get Richard Gere into this. He's on a contract. Most of his scenes are shot separate from Willis, which again makes me think there was a whole scheduling thing going on. They're barely on screen together, which is very peculiar, but sort of these types of movies are like that, aren't they? With two big stars, like a studio star-driven vehicle, so to speak. And they both probably got paid quite nicely for this. But yeah, Gere is really quite unbelievable as an Irish IRA terrorist, and he's in jail in America conveniently, and Sidney Poitier is tracking the Jackal, and the only person who can possibly help the FBI. So it all gets a bit Silence of the Lambsy, without the serial killing. And then Gere, you know, he does a good job actually, and he's remarkably handsome in this movie. They've cropped his hair back, and he looks like he's put on some muscle, and you're like, okay, I like the gear in this one. But he's just terribly miscast, and yeah, it's just a peculiar sort of edited movie where you kind of know exactly what's going to happen, and it's all leading up to this big climax where the Jackal, Bruce Willis, is using this big gun that he blew Jack Black's tits off with to shoot it's like the president or someone important, some political figure in the US who's opening a fucking hospital or something. And Richard Gere, you know, this is not a spoiler, Richard Gere just gets to him in time, and, you know, everybody, that's it, that's the end of the Jackal. But don't let that put you off. Like I said, it's a great, if you're lonely, you've got nothing else to do in your life. You know, I could list 100 movies ahead of the Jackal, but there's something about it. It's a good crack open a beer, or drink some water, whatever you want. But sit down on Friday night and watch the Jackal. You won't be disappointed. If anything, Jack Black gets blown to shit, and that's worth $3.99. Okay, we're going to dig into some movies that literally no one knows about. You can go on Google, on Bing, if you use Bing. I know a lot of podcasters use Bing or DuckDuckGo. If you go on DuckDuckGo or Bing or Google and you go on there and you type in with your keyboard or on your smartphone, if you type in on Google or Bing or DuckDuckGo, just go in there and you type in these words, Bruce Willis's is lost filmography. So if you go on Google or Bing or DuckDuckGo and you go in there and you type in Bruce Willis's is lost filmography, you're going to get these five responses. This is like a hidden trick, an internet trick. Okay. And because this episode of Movie Pipe is actually about The Jackal, the Bruce Willis, Richard Gere thriller, I had Paul's dead. Sorry. I didn't say that at the beginning because I didn't want to. We haven't been around for 6 months. And that's why we've been dealing with the fallout of Paul's death. But I have replicated Paul in an AI. So there's actually an AI version of Paul. We call it Paul GPT. And Paul GPT is now GG. That's me. And Will, my absent co-host, Ziz's assistant. So we've recreated Paul as an AI avatar. And we communicate with Paul GPT through the internet. We use our internet machines to have a conversation with Chat GPT version of Paul GPT. We trained it on all of the Movie Pipe content and all of the transcripts from the previous 33 podcast episodes that you should go back and listen to if you've never listened to Movie Pipe before. A great time. You've just discovered a hidden treasure of the internet. We have 12 listeners and we haven't released an episode for 6 months, so we now have one listener, you. And I'm hoping we can get some more listeners, because Paul's death, he died, and there was a large insurance payout, which was very inconvenient, but in order to, you know, basically get that money back, the lawyers agreed that we could offset some of those payments with future earnings based on the open license of Paul GPT. So we will be making it available, open source in Paul GPT. And you too can have your own pretty dull, fairly useless assistant that really never really delivered on the promise of what we hired Paul for. Often interrupted shows, you know, really didn't provide a lot of great information, insisted on us reading things out on air, because we do broadcast this on air, pipeheads. This is effectively a radio show, but we just put it on a podcast thing. Right, Bruce Willis's is lost filmography. This is just the search results that came back. Somebody's written an article, and it begins with you probably wondering what Bruce Willis's is lost filmography is. I'm reading from the webpage, and then the author, it says anon, absolutely, let's dive into the zany cinematic universe that Bruce Willis somehow missed. Number one, Bold and the Beautiful. And they write, the synopsis for this is a heartwarming comedy where a fashion model, after a hair dye mishap, goes bold and decides to embrace it. She becomes an overnight sensation, challenging beauty standards and inspiring others. Willis would have been perfect for a cameo, right? But alas, he was too busy making yet another action flick. Number two on the Bruce Willis's is lost filmography. Number two, Pie Hard. I'm not making this up. An epic baking competition where world-class bakers are locked in a mall overnight to create the world's most delicious pie. One would think Willis would leap at a chance to trade his action hero persona for a chef's hat, but sadly he missed the opportunity. Pie hard. Number three. Okay, can I get through this without cracking up? Number three on Bruce Willis's is lost film. Number three. The sixth comb. It's very... certain trend happening here with Uncle Bruce, who we love, by the way, and this is in no means, we're not dunking on Bruce. We love Bruce. We know he's not in a great place with his health, and that is sad, but let's not let that distract us from the comedy that is ensuing here. Number three on Bruce Willis's lost filmographer. The Sixth Comb. A chilling, hair-raising horror where a haunted comb gives its owner extraordinary hair-growing abilities. Bruce, the king of being comfortably bald, was the obvious choice, but he didn't make the cut. There's even puns in this, Pipeheads. There's even puns in this imaginary synopsis of Bruce Willis's Listery Thermographod. Right, number fear, four. Astronaut's plumber. And did I write these? An astronaut on a solo mission in space has to learn plumbing via video calls to save his spaceship from a water leak. You'd think that after Armageddon, Willis would be familiar with space mishaps, but nope, he sat this one out. Fucking... an astronaut has to learn plumbing. Can you imagine pitching that to a movie studio? Yes, I'm here for my debut directorial outing. I have a great script. I'm looking to put Bruce Willis in the lead. Yes, what is it, young man? Astronaut's plumber. Okay, intriguing. Now, what happens there is an astronaut has to learn plumbing in space. Stop right there. Here's $60 million. Go and make this movie. Number five on Bruce Willis's lost farm animals. Moonlighting during daylight. A surreal dramedy about a nocturnal private detective trying to adapt when a mysterious cosmic event makes nights disappear. Despite the title's callback to Willis's early TV days, he didn't star in this one. I mean, obviously, this is Bruce Willis's lost filmography, so he wouldn't have starred in any of these. He said it was too, quote-unquote, daylighty for his taste. That's a direct quote from the man himself. And then it kind of wraps up, but then it's sort of like, in capital letters, it says, bonus, colon. And here's seven more titles that didn't even get to script level. Sure. Here are seven more made-up titles that Bruce Willis didn't appear in. Number one, The Whistling Window Cleaner. Number two, Loafers of Destiny. Number three, Screaming Trombones. Number four, Bouquet and Bulletproof. Number five, Of Squirrels and Men. Number six, Elevator to El Dorado. And number seven, Duct Tape Dynasty. Almost forgot, because I don't have the real pool to help me figure out what to talk about on each episode anymore, because we used to, it was very tightly scripted, and that was one of the things Paul, before he passed away, and we turned him into Paul GPT, he was very good at helping me script out, helping me and Will, mainly me, script out each episode, because we got every and goof, and there's many goofs, all very deliberate, all very choreographed. You know, this is tight comedy writing, and Paul would be my script editor. So we don't have that anymore. So I actually forgot to talk about the Stephen Hawking cameo in The Jackal, the 1997 Bruce Willis, Richard Gere thriller. Stephen Hawking, it's not actually Stephen Hawking, but what they did was there's a scene where Bruce Willis's character, the Jackal, has to like, he has to go and figure something out. So he goes to some smart professor person, and inexplicably that professor, oh, is it just a computer? I don't know. It's in the 90s, so they haven't quite figured out like how computers work in movies, but they make it very futuristic by giving the computer a voice. So it's somewhat, it's a little bit spooky. It's almost like they predicted Siri or Alexa or whatever, but there's still a keyboard and it's all a bit clunky, and it's very low graphics, obviously, because it's a 1997's version of a computer, so it's not like HD or anything. But he types stuff in, and then it's the computer speaks back to him in a Stephen Hawking voice, which was like just really unexpected. And I don't know if they added that in post, as they say, in post-production, to help with the scene, because it would just be Bruce Willis typing quite... He's not a good typist, by the way. He's a movie star. He's not a freaking secretary. It's quite clunky. He's typing stuff into the computer. And then, you know, the camera kind of shows what's on the screen. And it doesn't add a great deal of narrative to the whole thing. So I'm thinking maybe they added in this voice afterwards, and some genius, you know, probably got a pay rise because of that. But it's very, very funny. So in honor of the Stephen Hawking voice in The Jackal, the 1997 Bruce Willis and Richard Gere thriller, I'm going to read the synopsis of The Jackal in the voice of Stephen Hawking, of which I've been told I do a fantastic impression of that. So I'm going to try and read the synopsis of The Jackal in the Stephen Hawking voice. So the next voice you hear isn't me, it's Stephen Hawking. During an FBI raid on a Moscow nightclub, the brother of Russian gangster Tarek Murad is killed. That's it, I can't do anymore. It hurts my throat. I'm not a computer, nor is Stephen Hawking. He's a physics mathematical genius, and I'm not sure why he's in the cameo, and I hope he got royalties for that. Anyway, I just thought I'd add that on because I forgot that, because Paul didn't remind me. He's dead. How can he remind me of things if he's not here anymore, people? Pipeheads. And I'm struggling here. Chat GPT version of Paul. Paul GPT is not the same. It doesn't interrupt me like Paul used to. I'm really... really fucking upset that Paul's gone, and I didn't mean to hurt him. I didn't mean to hurt Paul. I've got to go.